This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين We begin by praising Allah, نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And we send our love and our greetings to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam To his pious and his pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time May Allah bless us to be amongst them, ameen, walhamdulillah Alhamdulillah, we continue with our series on the first man, Nabi Adam And we mentioned that Nabi Adam alayhi salam coming to the earth after the fall After falling from the garden, he comes to the earth and he repents to Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him and then sends him instructions. And really this is where the juncture we are at. Allah informs Nabi Adam that, O Adam, you and your children, us, you are on earth for a set number of years. The earth is not a place for you to live eternally. It's an exam. It's a bridge. As Hassan al-Basri says, the world is like a bridge. You don't build on the bridge, you just cross the bridge. We are just here to get through and to get to the other side. So what do I need to do, Ya Allah? How do I pass this exam? Well, Allah says, I'm going to give you instructions. I'm not going to leave you to decide to figure it out on your own. And we started off by mentioning, well, what are the instructions that we need to follow? How do I pass this exam? What are the things that I'm going to be questioned about in the day of Qiyamah that I need to fulfill? And Allah has given us a primary objective. There's a primary objective, and then there's secondary things that are less important, and things that are even, everything's important, but there definitely is one primary objective. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us to worship Him alone exclusively. That's what the kalima means. The kalima means that there is none worthy of worship besides you, Allah. That you are the only deity, the only object of worship. And if you were to give your worship to anyone other than Allah, then you have failed in this exam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He will pardon every sin, even the serial killer, even the person who committed zina. Allah, on Qiyamah, we're not talking in the dunya. In the dunya, even shirk is forgiven. Even the person who worshipped, besides Allah, he worshipped an idol. If he stops and he makes tawbah, then Allah has forgiven him. That's not a problem. We're talking about the day of Qiyamah. If you think of this world like an exam paper, You got everything wrong on that paper. It is at the discretion of Allah. We don't give Allah an analogy, but He can even forgive the mistake. But He promised He will not forgive shirk on the day of Qiyamah. That He will not forgive. And the consequences of shirk, as Allah says, that whoever comes to Him on the day of Qiyamah, dying upon shirk, then He has made Jannah forbidden for that person. And that is really our objective in this life. Worshipping Allah exclusively alone. Do not commit shirk. If you achieve that, I think we ended off with that hadith. If you achieve that, even if you were not the best person, even if you committed major sin, even, wa'yadhu billah, you drank and you committed zina, and you weren't, you know, consistent on your salah, or you had some major deficiencies, the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah belief is that if you go to Allah with tawheed, worshipping Him alone, acknowledging that there is no God other than Him, and He alone deserves worship, and you did not associate worship with anyone else besides Allah, then inshaAllah, you will achieve Jannah. You will achieve Jannah. Now that's the Islamic purpose of life. And then I'll go into details. Well, how do I pass the exam and what else do we need to do? And I just take a side note here, it's not in the slides. What is the purpose of life from a Christian perspective? Because we agree with the Christians in terms of the story, the creation of Nabi Adam, the eating from the tree, the descent to the earth. We tell the Christians, if they ask, oh Muslims, why are you on the earth? What does your religion say? Our religion is we should every man for himself. Every man must carry his own deeds. Every man must stand before Allah and present what he did on the earth. And if he can present an account without shirk and worshipping Allah alone, then inshaAllah, you've basically got one foot in the Jannah. Now we say to the Christians, what is your view of how do we get through life? We and the Christians on the same page. The world is not a place for us to live eternally. We need to get through this world to the next life. The Christians will say, well, according to our belief, our theology, the purpose of life is that every single person is born into sin. All of us are damned. All of us are cursed. When Nabi Adam and Hawa, when they ate from the tree, their souls became cursed. This is the Christian belief. It's called original sin. And no matter how much tawbah they made and how much they asked Allah for forgiveness, He will not forgive. He cannot forgive them because they invented sin. And that sin entered into them, into their souls. It got corrupted. And they are damned and eternally going to Jahannam. Not only that, no matter how much tawbah and istighfar and fasting they make, Allah will not forgive them. But it gets worse. When they gave birth to kids, those children inherited that sin. That's why you hear this term in Christianity, man is born into sin. What does that mean, born into sin? Every person is born going to Jahannam. That is the... I'm not an authority on Christianity. I don't have the right to speak on Christianity. But what I'm saying, check this out. Research it. And if you are a Christian, you have a Christian, ask them, what does it mean to be born into sin? What is original sin? What does this mean? Because every denomination of Christianity believes in this. Catholics, Protestants, they all believe. They are Christians who don't believe in the Trinity, but they all believe in original sin. So, okay, let's go with this. So every person on earth is born with a sin against their name. And how do I get rid of the sin? How much hajj must I make to get rid of the sin? How much charity must I give? No, you can't get rid of the sin. You are like a permanent disease on you. So then what's the purpose of life? If I was born liable for a sin I didn't commit, I'm going to be punished for a sin I can't get rid of, then what is the purpose of my life? He says, well, there is a way out of the sin. You need to take the vaccine. You need to accept a special kind of medicine. And when you take that medicine, you are now cured and you'll go to heaven. What is that medicine? Well, someone has to pay for that sin. And that someone was Jesus. So Jesus was sent to die. And when he died, you accept his death as your savior, and then you are now absolved and you can go to heaven. But Jesus, of course, as we know, when you add the Trinity to it, wa'yadu billah, Jesus is Allah himself. So the theology of Christianity is Allah condemned all of mankind to hell forever, and he will not forgive you, no matter how much tawbah you make. The only way is he had to send himself down to die. Allah sent himself down and died. And with his death came the salvation. And through that, you accept the salvation, now you get to go to heaven. Your deeds, my deeds, are irrelevant. We are condemned for a sin we didn't do. And we go to heaven for a sacrifice we didn't do. Now this is Christian theology. And you have the right, you should actually know and research, is this true? This is what Easter is all about. Easter is holier than Christmas, because Easter is where that salvation came about. Where allegedly, we of course do not believe this, that Nabi Isa was crucified, God died, and with his death came the salvation, and all of us were given life. That's the Christian. He took on the sin of the world. That's why you hear this. Jesus took on the sin of man, the sin of the world. This is what it means. So that's Christian theology, and that's the path to salvation. We of course disagree with that, and we say that Allah says, none carries the burden of another. Everyone will be accountable for what you have done. And this makes sense. Whether we are Christian, Jew, or Muslim, the original experiment of mankind was Allah is going to give an individual free will to choose and to look at his choices and then to hold him accountable for his or her choices. That's the purpose. If the whole story was someone else committing the sin and someone else paying the price, what is the purpose of humanity? And there's more questions we can ask on this. So what about all the people that died before Jesus came? How did they get salvation? They didn't even know there was a Jesus coming. Anyway, that's not about Christianity, it's about our theology. So this is the direction, worship Allah alone, avoid shirk. Now if you do that, inshallah, we said that we have great hope that we'll enter Jannah. And there's so many hadith that gives us so much happiness and contentment. And that's why one of the purposes of this talk is for us to feel that every single person has the right to attain Jannah. And every single person, no matter how bad you are or sinful you are, Jannah is not unattainable. Yes, it might be that we are still far away from getting there. But Allah has made Jannah accessible to even the worst amongst us. And Allah has only required one thing from us. And we have so many hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentions that one of the hadith that is central to our theology is the man of the bitaqa, the man with a little piece of paper. On the day of Qiyamah, a man will be presented before Allah. Allah tells us about the future. A man will come. And he will have scrolls, 99 scrolls. And it will be rolled out until you can't see anymore. It keeps rolling until you can't see the end of it. All of these scrolls are just sin. Man just did sin. Zina, whatever sin you can think is in there. And then in his right hand, he's got a little piece of paper with a good deed on there. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now come, let's weigh. And the man almost, he says, Ya Allah, what's the purpose? How can I even, why are we even weighing these things? So Allah says, no, today is the day of haqq. Every atom must be weighed. And the man places that little piece of paper and it outweighs the sin. What's on that piece of paper is La ilaha illallah. A man did not commit shirk. He was a criminal, gangster, whatever he was. But he believed in Allah and he worshipped Allah alone. So now he's entitled to Allah's prerogative. Now Allah must sentence this man. And Allah then decides, because you are a believer, I will forgive your sin. Go to Jannah. That's possible. We also have another beautiful hadith that I've mentioned so many times, where the believers will cross over the sirat. They'll cross over. And when they look back, those that were with them, because we will be on Qiyamah in groups, Zumara, groups. Groups will be judged and will be sent to Jannah or Jahannam in groups. So a group of believers will cross over the bridge of Jahannam. And when they cross over and they feel, Alhamdulillah, I've made it, I've crossed over, I'm going to Jannah, they will see some of them fell down. And then some will return back over the bridge, go back to Allah, go back to the courtroom and say, Ya Allah, I would like to intercede. I want to argue with you about my brother so-and-so that fell into Jahannam. I testify for him. SubhanAllah. The Prophet says, no one is more severe in arguing with Allah than a believer on behalf of his brother. Such a beauty. I mean, what, do we have friends like that? You have any friends who's going to cross over hell to go and face? Then Allah will say, okay, go into Jahannam now. Go into the fire and find him. And if you recognize him and any believer, take them out. So then the believers will go in and they will take out whoever they can recognize as a mu'min. And the angels will intercede and the anbiya, until the only people in Jahannam are people that had no semblance of Islam or Iman. Yet inside there was maybe some goodness, some Iman. And then Allah will say, in a manner which befits His Majesty, He will say, the angels have interceded and the prophets have asked for mercy and the believers have asked for mercy. Now it's my turn for the most merciful to show mercy, and he will extract from Jahannam whomever he wants from Jahannam. Again, we mentioned these hadith. So while we know we are in an exam and life seems difficult and we know we are sinful, we also know Allah has rigged this exam so that everybody can pass. Allah's objective is not to put you in Jahannam. Allah's objective is to get you to Jannah. That's what He wants. That's what His plan all along was, that we will enter Jannah. So no one is excluded or away from the mercy of Allah, so long as you do this one thing of La ilaha illallah, worship Allah alone. Then of course, after that comes the other priorities. The other priorities, and if you want an action plan, a game plan, how do I survive? How do I survive in this world? How do I get through it? After your tawheed, you know, whenever a person embraces Islam, a new Muslim, they say, you know, it's a lot to take in. Every Muslim I meet, they give me different advice. Well, this one will tell me, you must do that, and you must recite this ayah, and you must memorize that, and you must go for a fiqh class, and no, hajj class, and Arabic class, and kusistas, and hadat, and stinja. It's so much, you know, it's like really confusing. I don't know, where do I begin with this? Systematically, how do we begin? Tawheed first on top, avoid shirk. The second thing is, in a hadith, which is called the hadith of the wali, to be a friend of Allah. What is the ingredients to be a wali? Allah says, He tells you. Allah says, I declare war on anyone who shows hostility to one of my awliya. And then He says, and the most beloved thing with which my slave comes to me to become a wali, the thing I love the most. How do you become a wali? Allah says, is what I have made compulsory on him. Start with the fard. I'm not saying it's wrong, but Allah didn't make learning Arabic fard or learning inheritance fard. Don't start there. Allah says, the things that I love the most are the things which are compulsory, the fara'id. And he comes closer to me through those things, and then he does more and more additional nawafil until I love him. The more good deeds he does, then I love him. Then he reaches a level, Allah says, where I become his sense of hearing, and his sense of seeing, and his sense of sight, and his hand with which he grips. So whatever he does now, it has this enlightenment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guiding him. And I will give him, when he raises hands to ask me, I answer his du'as very quickly. But the beginning point is to focus on the fara'id. And the first thing of what is fard is, after the kalima, the next question on qiyamah is, salah. Salah. The day of qiyamah, two very big questions. First question is, do you have tawheed or shirk? If the answer is no, then that's it, you failed. As for the ones who have iman, who have tawheed, the next big question is, what is the status of your salah? Have you performed all your waqts on time, the fard salah? If you pass that question, the Nabi says, if your salah account is in order, then that is the key to Jannah. Now you've got over 50%. Now you can, that person, and the Nabi says, once he passes that audit, the interrogation of salah, the rest of his questioning on Qiyamah is easy. Just get through those two things. This is to avoid Jahannam completely. To get to Jannah is Tawheed. To avoid Jahannam is salah on time. Inshallah, we continue next week with the rest of the list of things to focus on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good life. May Allah grant us istiqama, to stand firm on what is true. And may Allah grant us to die only in the state of iman, in the state of Islam. And grant us and all those who have passed away, Jannatul Firdaus. A couple of announcements. Inshallah, this coming Sunday morning, at 8:30, we will have an Umrah course. A number of people, alhamdulillah, are going for Umrah during Ramadan. So we don't usually have Umrah classes in Ramadan. So if anyone would like to join, the Umrah class is there. Also, if there's anyone that wants to join online, we have people from all over the world. So there's an online link as well. And also those who have been accredited for Hajj, half of Hajj is Umrah. And it might be difficult with time constraints. Come for the Umrah class. It will put you in good step for the Hajj class, inshallah. We have our Buranul orphan program during the month of Ramadan. So we take, subhanAllah, again, during Ramadan, you're an orphan. You don't have the family social that we have when we have iftar. So we take the orphans one day in the year. We should do more than that. We take them, we give them an outing, and then we give them a goodie bag, stationery, and those things. So if you'd like to sponsor an orphan, inshallah, every family should at least sponsor one orphan during Ramadan, at least for Ramadan. It's 400 rand per child. So inshallah, make an effort. And then we are obviously having iftar and or giving out our soup kitchen during the month of Ramadan. If you'd like to contribute to it, we're also collecting funds as well to feed someone during the month of Ramadan, feed those in need. Jazakallah khair, shukran so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.